Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, your host of Unsearchable Riches. Thank you for joining us once again today. You're on our website, crossandthrone.com, as we're here proclaiming the evangel of the grace of God. Well, we hope you've been studying this wonderful letter to the Ephesians. And truly wonderful it is. As if you recall, in these first 14 verses, this is the applause section. We're applauding God, for we are His achievement. This is God's work. We're just applauding. We're marveling over all the things that God has done. Well, last time we looked at verse 3, and we're going to head into verse 4 right now. And friends, sometimes you go a little bit slower in certain passages to drink in what's being said. And we believe that every word of God is important, so sometimes we have to pause and explain certain things. And I trust this is not tedious to you. I think it's for your benefit as well as mine. Well, last time we talked about the unique blessings that we have as members of the body of Christ, and it said that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. So last time we saw that we are blessed with unique blessings. They're spiritual blessings. And we saw that we were blessed in a unique place. That's among the celestials. That is where Christ now sits. Israel was blessed with physical blessings on earth, and you and I are blessed with spiritual blessings where Christ now sits at the right hand of God. Now, in verse 4, we're going to see a unique choice. It says in verse 4, according as He chooses us in Him before the disruption of the world, we to be holy and flawless in His sight. Well, that might be as far as we get in this study today, but I want you to notice what He says here. How is it that He could bless us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ? Well, these blessings are in accord with a choice. According as He chooses us. Notice it doesn't say that we chose Him, but He chose us. As we pointed out here, we are God's achievement. We didn't choose God, but He chose us. He chose us. And notice it's us, we members of the body of Christ, each one of us who compose that body. He chose us in Him. And that's a great phrase. You know, when you go through these passages in Ephesians here, notice how we see terms like in Christ, in Him. Friends, nothing that we have is apart from Christ. Everything is because of Christ. As a matter of fact, Christianity is all about Christ. And we always need to be, well, we should be Christ-centered, as it were, because God has chosen Christ to be the complement of all of God's purposes. So it says here that according as He chooses us in Him before the disruption of the world. Now, that's a unique time frame. Now, there are other time frames in Scripture. For instance, if you turn to Matthew 25, let's just read one of them. In Matthew chapter 25, regarding the nations. In Matthew chapter 25, and we see these blessings that God gives to the nations. In Matthew 25, verse 34, "Then shall the king be declaring to those at his right hand, hither, blessed of my Father, enjoy the allotment of the kingdom made ready for you from the disruption of the world." God's purposes concerning this earth, the prophetic, all the prophecies concerning Israel and the nations, find their time frame from the disruption of the world. And according to Ephesians here, the blessings that we have are before the disruption of the world. Other places in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul uses this phrase. Why don't we turn there to see this unique time frame? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 7, he says, "But we are speaking God's wisdom in a secret, wisdom which has been concealed, which God designates before the eons for our glory." Now there we have the phrase before the eons. It's not the same as before the disruption, but we'll talk about that in a second. Now another phrase, if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 9 of 2 Timothy, Paul says this. He says, God, who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts, but in accord with his own purpose and the grace which is given to us in Christ Jesus before times aeonian. That's before age times. And then if you turn to Titus chapter 1, we're going to see a similar phrase in Titus chapter 1. And we read this, Paul, a slave, starting with verse 1, Paul, a slave of God, yet an apostle of Jesus Christ, in accord with the faith of God's chosen, and a realization of the truth, which accords with devoutness, an expectation of life aeonian, which God, who does not lie, promised before times aeonian. Now, you and I, we see in Paul's letters that there are blessings that come to us that are before the times of the ages and also before the disruption of the world. And what is this disruption of the world? Well, I think personally, now there's been much debate about this, and I'm just going to give my opinion and let you search it out yourself. In Genesis 1:1, we read these words, in a beginning created by Elohim were the heavens and the earth. There we have creation. And then it says, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant, and darkness was on the surface of the submerged chaos. Well, we're going to see here in verse 1 and 2 of Genesis that there was something that took place before verse 1 and verse 2. And we can't get into all the details on a short program like this, but let me just suggest to you that it is connected with Satan and his angels, those whom we read about in other places of Scripture, the adversary. And you and I are blessed among the celestials, and our warfare is with not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness among the celestials. And so our blessings are in accord with a choice before the disruption of the world, which is associated with heavenly hosts who... I was going to say the word fall, but I need to be careful on the language I use because it was all part of God's purposes that these creatures would become antagonistic. And we're going to see that as we go on in our study of Ephesians. Remember, when God chose Israel, he called them to a land of promise. And there were foes in the way of that land of promise. Those were the Canaanites. And you and I, too, are blessed with all spiritual blessings. And we have foes as well. And what are those foes? Well, we have spiritual Canaanites. Well, anyway, just to point this out, he chose us in him before the disruption of the world. There's a choice that God made of us, and it has nothing to do with the prophetic plan of God for the earth. It has nothing to do with what God is going to do on the earth in his prophetic program with Israel. And it says here, he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world, we to be holy and flawless in his sight. Now, that's a tremendous statement. God chose us to be holy and flawless. Now, holy is a positive thing. So often people associate holiness with churches and all that other stuff, and that's terrible. Let's just say this. Whatever holiness is, it's a wonderful thing. And I like to envision holiness like a family situation. When God talks about holiness, well, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3 says this, now may the Lord cause you to increase and superabound in love, notice the word love, for one another and for all, even as we also for you, to establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Now, notice how love and holiness go together. And when I think of love, I think of a family. I think of a picture, a house on a warm night in the middle of winter, maybe at Christmas time. And as you see the lights on at night and the fireplace going and mom and dad on the couch and the boys on the floor playing a game and laughing and the young daughter sitting with mom and dad on the couch and again the fireplace and hot chocolate, a family situation where there's love and happiness, that is holiness. We're separated to God. We belong to him. We're members as a family. And God chose us in Christ that we would be holy, that is, belong to him in this family situation, and flawless in his sight. In God's sight, we are flawless, friends. And this has nothing to do with your practice. We are flawless. And by the way, this is the Father's purpose, that we be flawless. And guess what? In Ephesians chapter 5, the Son of God himself is the one who's going to bring it about. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, be loving your wives, according as Christ also loves the ecclesia and gives himself up for its sake, that he should be hallowing it, cleansing it in the bath of the water with his declaration that he should be presenting to himself a glorious ecclesia, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it may be holy and flawless. Friends, the Father purposed it. The Son accomplished it. Let's applaud him. It's his work, friends, not our own. Rejoice in God. Read Ephesians. And until next time, blessed be God who has blessed us. Well, it started.